And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
That was deeply satisfying, Andy.
It certainly was, Nick. You know, we said before the game that we had a chance.
Yep. We fantasized about Dusty turning back the clock and reliving past traumas for Geelong. And yeah, I think we got everything we asked for.
We certainly did. So on the expected shots, it was a two-point win. What really impressed me in the game, okay, we did get a bit lucky in the first quarter, we can get into it, but how much our defence held up throughout the game, and that to me was the sustainable. You know, we have been saying the defence has been playing better lately, and certainly, as Dimmer pointed out, Nathan Broad's return seems to be strongly correlated with that. But
I know. As a free agent pitch tape, that was a pretty impressive game.
Yeah, it was just, he was a star, Vossie was a star, the whole defence just played so well. It was, and it was I know it's already been said and Dimmer said it, but it did feel much more like a Richmondy game.
Didn't it? Yeah, the forward half turnover game was happening. Look, I thought, and we talked pre-game about our spasming forward line, and yeah, we still gave up far too many intercept marks from ill-directed bomb kicks into our forward line. But, yeah, it was really fun.
Look, it started really badly. Like, even though we were kicking goals, I was so worried because we were getting absolutely hammered in the centre square. And it's felt like every kick into our forward line was being intercepted by two Geelong defenders who were bigger than anyone we had at the contest. But We got that right. Even though we managed to have a good quarter anyway, we got that right. We got that better as the game went on and gained the intercept ascendancy.
Yeah, I thought
which we did actually. We beat them quite easily. Yeah.
I thought Segler was on top in the first quarter, but we've already waited too long to talk about Samson Ryan. That was a really big-hearted effort, and it reminded me, honestly, of some of the games in the VFL last year where we talked about how he was both our best marking target and our best ruck option, and just the sheer work rate involved for that. And look, in this case, he's up against two guys who are literally a decade older than him and have bigger, stronger bodies as a result. But yeah, and I thought it was a really praiseworthy, determined effort from Ryan, and that he was still pushing forward in the last quarter to create contests, that his follow-up work at centre square was good. Yeah, and some of his taps were brilliant, and I really enjoyed it. Although, am I infringing on your copyright?
Well, did you hear a bit of shuffling before? But I was leaning over to get my considerable Samson Ryan notes, which I have on a different device, and I hadn't muted myself. Actually, on the point of looking tired, loudmouth Richmond supporter I know was saying that Samson looked absolutely cooked at three-quarter time.
Yep.
But he really came good in the he kept battling out. Nick, if you were to make a Samson run, by the way, just on going back on the bad start, also Noah had the world's biggest brain fade just at the start of the game. He didn't even look before he ran to switch and ran straight into a Geelong tackle. He was. It was a remiss of us not to mention him at the start. He was magnificent.
He was notwithstanding the 5-10 minute period where he looked like he was going to take over the game.
Yeah, it was. Noah's. I think we just have to bake in that Noah's going to do one incredibly stupid thing in game, but he's like an NFL cornerback. He bounces back and he keeps going, and he was so important and beat Tomahawk for the sort of balance of the game. But you know, fair play. The biggest story here is Brody beating the best kick forward in the AFL right now.
Yeah, pretty like Cameron got some football, but 21 disposals and 9 marks, but it really didn't feel that threatening.
No. So on Samson, Nick, you can make a highlight reel and a lowlight reel of his from that game, and they'd both be really long. His good plays are so good. And, you know, he took that lovely contested mark late, but then he had a few other moments where he got his hands on the ball in packs and brought it down nicely, or at least looked like he'd clunk them in future years when he's a bit stronger. But, you know, his tap work, and I didn't want to go in too much last week into the stats because I wanted to see him against a better set of rucks. But he's amongst sort of ruckmen who are playing first ruck and get a lot of reps and are relatively competent in winning taps. If you sort of the top 20 or so in the AFL, he has the best of the percentages of the taps he wins. He has the highest hit out to advantage rate of any of the good AFL rucks. So his ability to hit teammates when he wins a tap is just, it is superb, and it is genuinely elite in the AFL. Just the question is, can he grow bigger? Because he is still, like, when he loses, he often loses quite badly because he takes a big jump and gets knocked over, or he gets outbodied. You know, there were examples of that all through the game.
Yeah, although you only really noticed the Geelong rucks trying to pull the ball straight out of the air against Miller, I thought. Like,
and they did do it. Sorry, there was one actually that the person I was watching with, I made them rewatch it twice, where Hawkins did it really nicely to Samson, but Samson's such a tall guy that he can get the tap anyway. But there were some really decisive Geelong clearances that came from good taps on Samson's. Like I watched every ruck contest in the game twice. Like I'm so into Samson because he's such a The variant, he makes rucking as important as I pretend it is, because there are often really decisive outcomes either way from his contests. He's a... And Miller, you're right, like, Miller had actually one or two really nice taps and then had some absolutely terrible ones against him. So it's a bit the same with Miller, but definitely Samson. Nank is more of a neutralizer and sort of gets... He's elite when he follows up, but Samson's really interesting to watch in his ruck work.
Yeah, well, five clearances on the day, 5 inside 50s. Yeah, some of his ruck work, excellent.
Two of those clearances were kicks off the ground that just went a few metres, but there was one.
But he was still one. He was still hand pass. Coordinated enough to follow the play, like.
Oh, he's definitely very coordinated. I agree with that. But,
he's come so far. Like that's what you say about needing to get stronger. But if you see, firstly, his draft video is pretty good, but it's, you know, QAFL, so it's you take with a giant grain of salt. But if you actually look back on some Noah Cumberland draft tape, you can see Samson lumbering around for the Brisbane Academy team, where he wasn't on the draft radar at all, and he really does look like a giraffe. Like his size and coordination has improved significantly since he was 18, and 22 is a baby for a ruckman. There's very, very few ruckmen of his age running around in the AFL at all, never mind being halfway competent.
Yeah, and look, he's still learning, and the teammates are still learning to play with him. Like Marlon has obviously got a pilot's license to fly at everything from dimmer to crate contests, and like he's going to take a great mark one of these weeks. But a few times he got in the back of Samson didn't help him because he should have let Samson. He doesn't quite trust Samson yet to say, all right, he's in the contest. I don't need to, I can stay down now. But yeah, just the you know, one of my favorite goals of the game, the second favorite goal of the game, was the Hugo to Samson to Judson Clark goal, which was just, you know, magnificent from all the young guys. But yeah, I was going to say
Hugo to Dusty goal, which I think there was a, I think it had eight touches from Richmond players through the centre, like tap-ons or little toe pokes, and you know, finished with Ralph Smith to Dusty. That was gorgeous, that one.
Yeah, well, my favourite goal is the Trent Cotchin left foot snap.
That was pretty fun too. There was a lot of fun goals. None of them were particularly easy.
No, but that game was such a middle. Anyway, we can talk about Cotchin. One last thing I wanted to say about Samson is I think he's perfect to work with Nank because, especially now with Lynch out, we need that height in the forward line. He's such an effective ruckman in spurts, particularly sort of in the forward half of the ground. So I think, you know, hardworking Nank, taking more of the centre taps, dropping back in defence, meaning Samson doesn't get caught in some of those defensive ruck contests. I think that'll be a really good combination. And by the way, we changed our rotations this week, and we gave Samson a much higher proportion of the centre square reps, as noted before. That is clearly much better than Miller in those. Anyway, Nick, is that as much as you expect me to talk about Samson?
Look, the only I see you, and I raise you one more thing. About how the Cats clearly had a plan to sub out Blitzarves. Oh, no, sorry, not Blitzarves, Segler, late in the third quarter, and they needed to keep him on because Blitzarves couldn't handle the ruckload by himself, and I think part of that was the influence that Samson was having on the game.
Yeah, look, I think that's a bad plan because you can't, like the Eagles game the week before, it was, as someone pointed out, it was the highest hitouts to advantage in Dimmer's coaching career. Mm. Samson is just too skillful with these taps. There's something special about him. I know I said this last week as well, and he's not perfect, and he does do bad. The opposition gets good.
He's still developing, yeah, very much so.
But there is an upside there that's amazing. And for a future podcast, Nick promised to redo his draft year and to see where he would go.
It's pretty good.
Anyway, he's in a team that doesn't have many young players. He's my lodestar player to get irrationally excited about.
We mentioned him before, but that was a great performance by Dusty. I thought he was influential early on in sort of mid half forward, but his finishing right through the game was just glorious.
Yeah, we talked about this week, last week. Like, this is the game he deserved because he's really been working hard.
He's been good for a few weeks, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And again, Nick, his pressure points were off the charts for Dusty.
Mm.
Like, they're above average for a normal AFL player playing on the half-forward flank. Like, he is just working. This is a different Dustin Martin. Well, fortunately, this week it was the old Dusty, but this is a more team-first Dustin Martin. It is more defensive Dustin Martin. My admiration for him is unbelievably gone up because he's found a second act outside his tippy top prime, and that was magnificent. You could hear the roar every time he got it. It was just beautiful. Anyway,
yeah. Well, look, I think a big part of it, as it so often does, comes down to him having his body right, and you know, getting some continuity in his football.
Did you watch his interview after the game?
No, I didn't.
It was hilarious. even in his 30s, he still acts like an 8-year-old ADHD kid who's forced to sit through a 2-hour lecture on plants or something. He could not have looked less happy to be there, and he had Cotchin there. Oh, speaking of interviews, Nick, we just need to go a bit back to Samson. Have you seen the video of them interviewing his mum?
Oh, no, I haven't.
So Brian Tyler interviewed his mum.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lovely, there's a unfortunate moment where Samson's girlfriend accuses his mum of being plastered, which I don't actually think she was. She was very excited, but she seemed quite eloquent. So whatever, anyway, bad tactic move by the girlfriend. But my favourite moment of it is actually was Samson can tell his mum's really excited and talking to BT, and he kind of comes in and interrupts her. It's like, "Mum, stop embarrassing me on national TV." And Samson comes in, and like, this is his time. He's probably not done a national primetime interview before. And like, you can tell, like, this is finally I get to use my media training. And he bashes out some excellent sort of footy cliches for he's still under 10 games, isn't he? Under 10 gamer. But you know, mum's just the BT knows that his mum's the star of the interview and goes back to the mum. Anyway.
Cool. Yeah, it's pretty great. Liam Baker was so classy. Like, he didn't quite have as much football as he has in some of the other weeks, but God, it just felt like things were under control when he had the ball, and somehow a guy who's 173 centimeters is seventh in the AFL in intercepts per game.
Yeah, he's just incredible. I think his stat count is down slightly because we're short back in the team. He's not always the release player, so that he got bigger pure possession stats when Short was out. But I think we're a far better team with the both of them working in tandem.
Yeah. If you look at the top 10 intercept players, intercepts. Per game, the only the next shortest player relative to Liam Baker is 14 centimeters taller, literally half a foot, and it's Lossie, and everyone else is over 190. Like, yeah,
that's a cracking stat.
Yeah, he's great. Dan Rioli's game after going off needing medical treatment. And coming back and having over 500 meters gain and, you know, just running his heart out. That was a pretty big effort.
Cracking goal too.
Yeah, lovely.
But and that pirouette, that 360 spin he pulled off in the last, which I think it was Cap stuffed up the kick, but God, that was beautiful play up to that moment. That is in the pantheon, as you say, coming back from the injury of what is now a very large pantheon of epic Rioli performances.
Yeah. Look, you mentioned Jaden Short, and after sort of working his way back into the season, he's now literally the number one meters gained player in the competition. Like over
presumably that's per game.
Per game, yeah. Over 700 meters this week, right? Yeah. The team, look, we are still missing some really key players. Obviously, Soldo, Nank, Lynch.
I really approve of the order that you listed them in.
I was pandering. I'm in a really good mood.
Look, it's a really obvious point, and this is. As supporter 101, but you know the thing that when the team's losing, the commentators always say, "Oh, look how many players they have out." Like it's a standard thing they do to make the other team supporters feel better. But when they mentioned all the Geelong
players, yeah.
Which they did have a lot, but yeah, they at least Tom Lynch would have been worth mention there. Like you know, like Nick, I think it's time we talked about Trent Cotchin.
Gladly this week, gladly.
It was just look. I don't think it is. It was so special what he did. Like there were moments in the game, you know, when he went diving after Jed Bewes, or there's another moment on the wing where a Richmond player, well, they were both chasing a Richmond player, ran past him like he wasn't moving. Like sometimes when I'm watching him on the spread, it's like watching. Nick, you're far too organised to have ever done this, but have you ever been in a car when it runs out of petrol and you step on the gas and nothing happens?
No, I haven't actually.
Yeah. It's not, I think I've only been done it once, but it's a feeling you'll never forget. Sometimes I feel a bit like that watching Cochin, but he's so smart and he managed to get three beautiful goals, all of which involve lovely skill. Even the kick out the back, just the way he leant out the back to get there first. You know, that soccer kick I'm talking about. I replayed that three times, just the way he leaned to get to the right point of the ball, and he outread it everyone else. And obviously the mark was lovely, and the left foot snap we've already talked about. It was the middle finger to father time, and in a weekend where LeBron James has been amazing, we should celebrate when people do what they're doing, because it's not easy to play that position at his age. And well, this week it worked magnificently.
Oh, it was great, and I loved. And apologies for not remembering who did it. Somebody pointed out that Trent always fist bumps right-handed. There's an element of the aging prize fighter about Trent, where you're sort of half looking on in dread that he's gone on too long. But yeah, this was great.
Let's celebrate and enjoy it for what it is.
Let's celebrate it for what it is. Look, it was such a, like, on a Friday night as well, like
against the old enemy. You know, his greatest rival, obviously.
Yeah. Isn't his greatest rival doing things for free?
Good one. So Mantle had a good game. One of those goals was more tricks than I thought he had. That underground ground shot. Nice.
The second one was a good finish as well.
It was a good finish. I cannot believe he got that whistle against an all Australian. We actually got the whistle.
There was just enough of the arms wrapping around, and I think the umpire just had that right view at the right moment, and he probably blew the whistle a half second too early.
The good goal kicking, the good whistle, that's gone against us so many times. It's nice to be on the other end of it once.
Yeah, look, there was enough. There was hard running, like his pressure acts were good, and he had just enough moments around the ground. That was by far his best game as a forward, I thought.
Is there anything you wanted to add on Judson, just while we're going? Other than obviously he kept the goal streak going.
How hard he ran to create that goal. And he was absolutely knackered over, despite not having been on the ground very long. But it was absolutely gut-busting running, which I really enjoy. Like we mentioned last week about him showing flashes. There's a pretty good footballer there if we can get all the pieces working.
I think his disposal count was a bit disappointing, but I do like him as a sub.
Mm. Yeah, definitely that pace and energy. Tim, look, we should mention Tim Taranto just for the sheer work rate and effort across the game. You know, miles more pressure acts than anyone else.
Tackles. On the pressure points was just slightly different measure. He's now better. He's getting numbers that were better than Graham's at his prime, and Graham was the best player in the AFL in his prime on that stat.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Six clearances. Yeah, and the AFL ratings still don't like him. Shrug.
This was one where the champion data didn't like him either. He did. Mm. Yeah, he had a few turnovers, so it wasn't just that. But, you know, he is what he is. And we had a long conversation about him last week, which I don't think we need to re-prosecute. Lovely.
He's very technically sound in his tackling. Very technically sound. I appreciate that.
Yes. Someone pointed out he's lost a bit of... friend of the podcast, Ali Noonan, pointed out that he's lost a lot of confidence in his ball drop, and you can see that a bit. Oh, God, he pushed at least one inside 50 in the centre. But, yeah, we went all of this last week. Nick, Prestia's goal out of the stoppage, he did that off one foot. It was outrageous from 55. I didn't know he had that leg in him.
Look, it is, and I deeply enjoyed the Dion Prestia video, including a lovely, I think I sent you a photo of, it was a picture of sort of 7-year-old Dion holding up a fork full of pasta, which was exactly as cute and as stereotypical as you would expect. Talking about not just, you know, he was a man-child, but he was an explosive one, and then he still got that explosion to his game. It's pretty great.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I'm bouncing around a bit here, Nick, but you know, it was a big win, so I think we're going to almost talk about everyone. If you're high on Hugo, which I am, I don't think we learned anything this week. Like, he was good, and he's running.
He was good, and look, he was matched up on Ollie Henry, who did get a couple of goals, but otherwise he was really quiet. And for, you know, someone, Ollie Henry's a really good athlete as well, and I thought he matched up fine, and you know, he ran out the game well. I thought, and enjoyed it. But yeah, I'm a fan too.
Yeah, he did. I to balance the comments, I guess I should mention he didn't get a touch in the third quarter. But yeah, there was some beautiful moments, as you've already pointed out. Would have liked Ross to get a little bit more, but I think he was playing the defensive winger role because Marlon wasn't in it.
Marlon was playing sacrificial decoy up in the forward line.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, it was what it was. Anyone else that you wanted to highlight? And it was a shame Hopper got injured.
He looked really disappointed on the bench.
I think he tried to play for. He had one moment. Do you remember, that was Hopper who did that awful kick, the switch. You know, he was just trying to go out wide, and the kick just went. He kept on after that, but I just wondered whether that was the moment he realised his calf wasn't right.
Well, he seemed to be having trouble with it fairly early on in the game, but yeah, just clearly.
He may have done that in that chase down tackle that he took.
Yeah.
Yeah, hard to know, but crap injury calf, he'll be out for a little while.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's one of those things you can have a relatively minor one, but you certainly won't play Dreamtime this week. Dylan Grimes was very solid, I thought. A fairly low-key game, but, gee, he barely lost a contest all day.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, he's the supporting defender now, isn't he? Mm. They're letting the younger blokes take the AA forwards, or they did this week anyway. But, yeah, I agree.
And look, he re-signed for another year during the week, along with another 2 years for Bolter and 2 years for Tyler Young. So yeah, noting Nathan Broad's free agency, I think that was a pretty strategic move.
Yeah, would be good point. I'd love to keep Broad for another year or two, but maybe he's thinking about a move back west because it's his last contract, right?
Well, it's his last and if you can get a fat 3 or 4 year contract. Oh, God.
If someone offered him 3 years, you've got to take it because he's 30. So he's turned 30 or he's about to.
I think he's turned 30. He is. He started late. He only came in to the team 2016, I'm pretty certain. And look, he's had and he's been very durable, so maybe he hasn't had as much wear and tear as some other players his age and has a good base of athleticism from that. But yeah, no, he is 30.
And he is getting better every year.
A month ago. Yep.
He's getting better every year, I think. Definitely, I think his last 2 years has been his best.
Yeah, last 3 years, I reckon, when you look at his stats. But yeah, no, he's been good. Anyone else?
I think we've actually literally mentioned everyone, including we gave Miller a passing reference, but I don't think there's much we learnt from Miller's game. I think, yeah, that's it. We've literally talked about every player as you'd expect after such a satisfying.
I don't think we've mentioned Jack Graham or K-Mac.
You know who else we
have? We've mentioned Shay. He was great.
I was just about to say we didn't mention arguably one of the best players on the ground.
Yeah. Look, K-Mac and Graham were extremely solid as well. But yeah, Shay. Yeah, Shay's, I think it's the last month, has been electric. Right?
Yeah. He is. And it was
I love having him in the team.
Yeah.
In this type of form.
And he's getting the plaudits he deserves too. Like he's very much on Main Street now with the commentary, which is lovely because he's just a gorgeous player. So I was so shocked when he dropped that. Was it a straight tap to him or did he shark the tap?
Yeah, I know.
And he didn't.
The ball came out to him, and yeah, you're normally sort of looking downfield at that stuff.
Yeah, you're starting to worry about the center bounce. Anyway. Wonderful, satisfying win, and the VFL backed it up with a fairly sort of pulling out a draw when it wasn't looking so good.
I know. Look, it was a game where neither team had a ton of AFL players, so you sort of maybe a limited amount that you can take away from it. Of actually, probably. A bit of a story from the game. Matthew Clarkson, who's son of, debuted and had 10 disposals in the first quarter, which was pretty interesting. And he's I don't think he's an AFL player, given he's 3 centimetres shorter than Liam Baker. But yeah, that was kind of fun. Tyler Sonzi had 23. In sort of a solid, if not overwhelming, Jacob Bowers continued his form. Like he's averaging nearly 18 a game playing as a defender, which is a pretty big number, while also doing some key matchups. Like as has been said before, pretty big fan. Noah Cumberland had a really slow start to the game. I'm not sure he had a disposal in the first quarter, and then finished up with 3 goals, including some pretty tidy ones. So, yeah, that was kind of encouraging. So there's a guy, James Trezise, who's he's on a wouldn't say country footy legend, but he's sort of come from playing country football for a couple of years. He's just turned 21. He had 29 disposals, and he's getting the occasional mention as a possible mid-season draft pick. Now, I mean, loads of guys get mentioned as possible picks who don't get picks, and honestly, physically, he doesn't look like an AFL player, but he's got good athleticism, and he sort of, maybe it's something where, you know, he's got good height and can clearly play, and that you trust the system to build him up physically. But yeah, no, he played pretty well.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, it was nice to see Noah start to climb his way out of that the 50 foot pit of Dimmer's doghouse that he's buried into mixed metaphors. Essendon, we haven't done our usual amount of research. Yep.
No, hardly at all. I finished going over the Geelong replay 5 minutes before we started. And I'm not really in the emotional headspace to focus on it or start worrying about it yet.
So I will just make 2 quick points about them. Firstly, Dylan Shielden is unfortunately having a really good season.
That's a little frustrating.
And Darcy Parrish is continuing his range of his continuance of sort of mid upper mid competence as a mid, you know, sort of he's your best mid. You're not making the finals, but he's all right.
And look, isn't he a free agent? Is he?
Oh. Well, anyway, he's the perfect kind of, like, he won't go, but he's the perfect kind of guy.
Gets overpaid in free agency, frankly, because he is available.
Yeah, and the kind of guy, like, it's the kind of thing that's kept Essendon where they are, is that they can't bear that they tend to give big fat contracts to players like that. I will say that their early season, like, it's pretty obvious now because they've been on a losing streak, but their early season record was built against some pretty chumpy teams. Admittedly, one of those was the Suns at Marvel, which. Less about that, but better. But against anyone else but Richmond, the Suns of Marvel is not a good team. They flogged Hawthorne. They had one other chumpy win, and you know the Port game that looked like a courageous loss. They actually got flogged on the expected score. So they're not. I mean, they haven't played yet this weekend, so maybe they'll put in a good performance. But you know, early days and. Hopper's obviously a big app, but I reckon we're a decent chance to continue the streak going.
Yeah.
Decent big ruck group, though. So that's going to be a challenge for the boys.
I was going to say that Scott Draper is a big athletic boy and physical as well. And he's you know, they're playing two pure specialist rucks, although...
Richmond Tigers. Sorry, go.
Oh, Draper's managed to hit the scoreboard regularly this year, which is something he hasn't done before.
And Richmond Tiger Talk legend, Phillips.
Andrew Phillips, yeah. The journeyman's journeyman. But, yeah, they are really – they're emphasising, you know, that you know, big-bodied midfield group with Shiel and – Parrish with the two rucks, and sort of leaning into that identity. Look, Sam, they've got Sam Wiedemann up forward, who's been somewhat competent for them the last couple of weeks. Archie Perkins, annoyingly, is showing signs of talent, which is frustrating. but Peter Wright's out injured, which is sort of he was their key goal kicker last year. But yeah, look, we've had such a good run with them. You know, part of me is thinking, are we due? Are we due for a loss? But
Bit early for the bad wedding. Let's just stay with.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, it was an emergency podcast befitting what was a magnificent Friday night at the football, Nick.
It was deeply and profoundly enjoyable.
And honoured the legacy and memory of those three magnificent finals victories.
I know. And it was the first genuine game of the year where... I just wore all my Richmond merch today just in the hope of somebody striking up conversations about Richmond with me, and it was great.
Well, Nick, I had the big guns out because I was wearing my Richmond Tiger Talk t-shirt at the gym today, singlet at the gym today, so, you know, sadly no one stopped me while I was doing Y-grip lat pull-ups to talk to me about Samson Ryan, but, you know, hope springs eternal.
Are you Andy? Can you talk to me about hit-outs to advantage stats?
Funnily enough, I have them right here on my phone. I actually really do. Anyway.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.